Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now, I don't have special Christmas messages and Easter messages. Well, this is probably approximately an Easter message. We want to think about three angelic announcements, two that were connected with the day of the resurrection and one that took place when the Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven. So Matthew chapter 28, and we'll read from verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him, lo, I have told you. Now over to Luke chapter 24, please. Now, we don't have time this afternoon to show how the three or the four accounts of the Gospels all fit together very nicely, but Luke is going to tell us not now about one angel, Luke is going to tell us about two angels. I'll read from verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And finally, please, a few verses in Acts chapter 1. And we read at verse 9. And when he, that is the Lord Jesus, had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And we know that the Lord will bless this reading of his word. Now, what I want to just stress very simply this afternoon is that Christianity and the message of the gospel, which is obviously making known the Christian message, it is based upon a real person and historical events that took place in the life of that person. The person is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the gospel message is centered on him. He is the focal point of the gospel message. It is described as the gospel of his Son, the God's Son. And we know scriptures that teach us that. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we know very clearly from the scriptures and from the claims of the Lord Jesus that he is the center of God's message for us. And he says to us, as it were, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, what we're going to see is that the gospel message is not only about the person of the Lord Jesus, but about certain events that took place in his life on earth. And we have read about, well, we've read mainly about his resurrection, but his resurrection presupposes, as we've read, his crucifixion. The crucifixion and the death of Christ actually took place in this world. It is a historical event. There was a place where it took place, and there was a time when. And there is also a purpose why, which we'll need to see a little bit as well. But then we've read together of another event in Matthew 28 and Luke chapter 24. We have read about the consequence of his resurrection. Now, nobody saw the Lord Jesus actually rise from the dead. But the effects of his resurrection were evident. And we've read about women who came to the tomb expecting to find the dead body of the Lord Jesus. And we learn in Luke chapter 24, they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, why didn't they find it? Well, in Matthew chapter 28, the angel, the one angel, makes it very clear what happened. In other words, God didn't leave it to these women and the disciples generally to kind of figure out what had happened. He actually told them precisely what had happened. He is not here, for he is risen. And so the divine explanation to the empty tomb, although the grave clothes were still there, but the body of the Lord Jesus was not there, the divine explanation is he is risen from the dead. And that is central to the gospel message. We preach to you a Saviour who is alive, who died for our sins, who suffered on the cross, who was rejected by his own people and crucified by the Romans and suffered at the hands of God for our sins and died. And yet on the third day, he rose again from the dead according to the scriptures. And then we have read, we haven't read any of the resurrection appearances accounts, but of course the evidence for the resurrection is not just that the tomb was empty. People met him. What a wonderful experience that was for those disciples who were, to say the least, confused, if not simply unbelieving. And we've read about one of the women here, Mary Magdalene. The Lord appeared first to her. And she recognized him by his voice. And then if we'd read on in Matthew chapter 28, we would have read of other women who were telling the disciples around Jerusalem that he was risen. And they fell and held him by the feet. And he had feet that could be held. A proof of the bodily resurrection of Christ. And so that day there were those who came in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead. The words of the angel were true. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. But then some 40 days later, we read of another event in Acts chapter 1. The Lord Jesus didn't stay on earth. The Lord Jesus is not on earth now. He ascended back to heaven, and the account of, or one account of the ascension is given to us in Acts chapter 1. And as that event took place and the Lord Jesus parted from them, the angels, two angels, again appear. And they tell the disciples about another event that is going to take place in this world. And they say, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which ye have seen taken up from you, shall so come in like manner. And so we've learned a little bit about the crucifixion of Christ. We've learned about the resurrection of Christ. We see in Acts chapter 1 the ascension of Christ. He has gone back to heaven. That's where he is now, at the right hand of God. And the angels remind them what the Lord Jesus himself taught them, that he was coming again. And they remind those disciples that the same Jesus that left them will be the same one that comes again. And comes again, we learn in the New Testament, to take the believers to be with the Lord Jesus. Now, I know that every believer in this meeting room, we are waiting for that event. We are waiting for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. He promised it in John 14. You can read it. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, you might say, well, that's all very well, but what does that mean to me? What do these events mean to me? And we're going to say just a little bit about each of these events and what they should mean to us. When we think about the cross, we need to understand that cross demonstrates man's sin against God. You see, how does it do that? Because it was men and women just like us who cried out before Pilate, crucify him, crucify him. You say, but I wasn't there. Neither you were. But there's no reason to believe that our hearts would have been any better than the men and women who stood outside Pilate's judgment hall or stood around the cross. And the cross of Christ stands as a singular event in history that demonstrates man's sinfulness, my sinfulness against God. And my dear friend, each of us have to come to terms with the solemn reality that as we are at a distance from God, and the cross of Christ, rather than being an attractive piece of jewelry that people wear, is a symbol of man's rejection of the Son of God. But then, of course, there was another event that took place on the cross, and that is the death of Christ. Ah, yes, men crucified him, but our Lord Jesus at the appointed time laid down his life. And that is all important for you and I, because Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians why he laid down his life. Christ died for our sins. Ah, yes, if the cross, as it were, highlights man's sin, then the death of Christ provides forgiveness and provides salvation and makes provision so that we are not judged by God and that we might escape the judgment of God. And the wonder of the gospel is that the Son of God, the very creator of all things, not only was willing and allowed himself to be cruelly crucified by the creatures of his hand, but he was willing to die for us. He was willing to lay down his life that you and I might have forgiveness, that we might be made right with God. And so you find scriptures that multiply this great truth. God commendeth his love towards us, says Paul in Romans 5, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I wonder if you've grasped the wonder of that truth at the sound. I know we've all heard it and you've learned about it, but I wonder whether it means something to you personally. You know, the Apostle Paul came to that understanding. He said, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, as if he was the only person in the universe. Now, we know he wasn't. I know that the death of Christ makes available to salvation to all men and women and young people. But Paul says, I want you to understand I've made it good to myself. He died for me. He gave himself for me. And it was love that prompted it. Unconditional love. My dear friend, what an amazing truth that is. In that historical event that took place outside the city walls of Jerusalem. The crucifixion and the death of Christ. Now, the proof that he died is in the fact he was buried. But on the third day, he rose again. Says the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4, he was delivered up for our offences and he was raised again for our justification. And you might say this afternoon, how can I know that God is satisfied with his sacrifice? How can I be sure that if I trust Christ, I will not face judgment for my sins? Really, the answer is in the resurrection. God raised him from the dead. And God, in that act, demonstrated his pleasure and satisfaction in the death of Christ. Really, the Lord Jesus' death is an absolute miracle. Because we die because of sin. The wages of sin is death. But he was sinless. Death had no claim on him. And yet he died. And yet we learn in the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 6 that he could not be holden by death. Death had no lasting grasp of him. And he rose in triumph. And yet, in spite of the fact that the Lord Jesus had spoken to his disciples about his resurrection, that it came as a complete shock to them. Now, you can read the gospel accounts. And in Mark's gospel in particular, the Lord rebukes his disciples because of their unbelief. And they went to that tomb expecting to find his dead body. And they found it was empty because the Lord had risen. And then individuals and groups of disciples, they came into contact with the risen Christ. Not a spirit, a risen man in a body. He said, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as ye see me have. And he ate before them. Those inward systems of the body were functioning. The Lord Jesus had triumphed over death. Now, there's a number of implications that we need to grasp about because Christ is risen. And Paul makes one clear in Acts chapter 17. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And he's given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. The very fact that Christ is risen means there will be a judgment. My dear friend, we urge you this afternoon, you need to get ready for that. You can escape it. You can avoid it only by trusting Christ as your Saviour. But there will be such an event. Because Christ is risen. But the very fact that Christ is risen means he's able to save. A dead man can't save anyone, but a living Saviour can. And the gospel message is a message of a living Christ who wants to have a relationship with you and wants you to enjoy fellowship with him. He triumphed over death. But you know, the resurrection, the Lord Jesus still, for a period of 40 days, as Luke puts it in Acts chapter 1, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. And we've mentioned one or two of those proofs. But after 40 days, he was taken up back to heaven. The Lord had spoken about this event, something he was looking forward to, going back to heaven. Going home for him. Going to the Father's house. But when he went up, and when those disciples, he was parted from them, and when the cloud received him out of their sight, these two angels reminded the disciples of another event that is still to take place. This same Jesus, which was received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. We haven't time to explain what those words involve, but what they do indicate to us, the Lord Jesus is coming back. And my challenge to you this afternoon is this: are you ready? Because if the Lord Jesus was to come back now, the only people who would go are believers, those whose sins are forgiven, those who've trusted Christ for salvation. And if you've neglected it, or if you've rejected it, you're left. And can I tell you, we haven't time to go into the details of what it's going to be like. The Bible makes it very clear that for our world, things are not going to get better. They will get better eventually, but not in the short term. And God is going to judge this world. And those that refuse to believe now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul tells us, they're going to believe something. They're going to believe a lie. They're going to believe strong delusion. My dear friend, this is an urgent matter. It says the scriptures, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is God's day of salvation. Apart from the fact that none of us know about tomorrow. In fact, we don't even know about the rest of today, if the truth be told. God gives you an opportunity now. His day of grace for you is now. And my dear friend, the issues that are involved in the gospel are too important to put off. Now, I know that everyone in this room has heard the gospel many times. You've heard about the love of Christ. You've heard about the death of Christ. You've heard about the fact he's risen from the dead. You know that you need to get saved. But at the moment, you're not. My dear friend, wouldn't it be a tremendous day if you were to realize your need of salvation before God and confess your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we had a prayer meeting earlier today, and we were praying for this meeting. And our brother Jim prayed that there might be somebody who would ask the question that a jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? That would be a great question to ask in your heart. And if you're asking that question in your heart, the scripture provides you with an answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. My dear friend, this is crucial. This is the most important question. I know there are many important things in your life that you need to attend to, but this is the most crucial thing, the salvation of your soul. And we would urge you, as Paul urged the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.